If I can say that there has been any kind of silver lining to this time in our lives, this awful period that I called coño carajo, it's that I haven't had my ass grabbed by a stranger in over 16 months. Let me explain. I've always had a very complicated relationship with the body part that you would call the behind, the rear end, the ass, or as my proud and sometimes loud Puerto Rican family would call, because we have five different words for it, culo, fundillo, nalgas, chicho, and delicioso. No, that last one was a joke. But, you know, well, you might say, well, no, Michelle, it's just another body part. To you, your rear end is a body part. But for me, it's always been a body party. One that I have been apparently hosting without my consent for far too long. 45 years. That's longer than a lot of people listening have been alive. It started when I was 15, and I just kind of magically transformed from this awkward, slightly chubby teenager to an awkward teenager whose chubbiness kind of somehow miraculously migrated down just the right distance and produced what even my most critical titi, auntie, called coño. That's the finest pair of nalgas in the entire familia. And, you know, my titi told me, you know, you have to cuidado now, you have to be careful, you have to watch out. And I didn't really understand what she meant until the day at school, two boys grabbed me from behind in the staircase and pushed me against the wall, and they took their turns grabbing me. And, you know, I fought back because, like, yeah, I'm from the Bronx, you know, I'm fighting back. But, like, when I finally broke free of them and I turned around and I'm pushing them, they just, like, start laughing at me and they go, whoa, nice ass, ugly face. This was the first time that I ever felt that my body didn't belong to me and that somebody else could just come in and just take whatever they want at any time. I knew that this had happened to other women before because I heard women in my family or girls that I knew talk about it. But this was the first time that it ever happened to me. And the only person that I told was my titi, that auntie. And she said to me, well, now that you're a woman, you have to cuidado. You have to watch over yourself. And I really didn't know what that meant, you know, because it didn't happen like every day or every week or even every month. But you never knew when out of nowhere these hands would like strike you, like attack you, like a rattlesnake. So I learned that if I couldn't put like a shield around my body, I would just put a shield around my mind to like help myself cope with the next time some guy or boy decided that he wanted to grab me. So now I'm 35 and I'm trying to be an actress, which means that I also think that I have to be a waitress. So I get a job at a friend's restaurant in the East Village, and I never had done this before. And I'm waiting tables, a small Italian restaurant, and it was very family run and very cozy and very, really cool. And everything was fine until one day this group comes in. They're celebrating a birthday. It's a group of guys. And they were like these, you know, like these Wall Street, like Masters of the Universe type of guys, you know, like Wolf of Wall Street, like those kind of people. And they were celebrating the 30th birthday of one of them. And they were all very drunk and very disorderly and just like all over the place. And I'm taking the order, and I right away, like my spidey sense starts, and I'm like, I have to beware of birthday boy, because he had decided that I was on the menu. And like, no matter how many times I tried to deflect or tried to make a joke or tried to like, you know, twist out of the way, he kept trying to grab at me. And his friends were even just like, dude, leave her alone. Like what? And then like, you know, I kept trying, like, you know, smiling because, you know, the customer is always right and the server's here to serve. And then when I went to serve the entree, he just sticks his hand right up my skirt and latches on. And homeboy needed a manicure, okay, because his fingernails were not trimmed and they left the welt. And I didn't even think. I reacted. I just put down that plate of, I remember what it was, linguine fra diablo. Boom. Right over his head. And then it was like, whoa, 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 what's going on? What's going on? And they're like, oh my God, well, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. And the guy is like, I'm going to have you fired. And then, you know, the boss comes, and then it's like, well, you know, Michelle, yes, you were right, but you were wrong. You can't be breaking plates of linguine over somebody's head. So they got their meal comped, and even though I had a $200 tip left for me, which was nice money in the 90s, I had to find a job because the customer's always right. and the server is there to serve. And it doesn't matter whether you're wearing jeans or a skirt or sweatpants, it's going to happen. And it's going to happen again. Like it did on the subway, where I'm on a very crowded train and I'm just being rubbed against by this dude. And he's just like rubbing and rubbing and rubbing himself against me. And I'm just like so disgusted. And I'm like, what can I do to get out of this situation? Because I can't move. So finally I managed to turn around and I say to the dude in that joking sweet voice, I was like, hey, mister, if you get any closer to me, you're going to have to marry me. And the people that were around earshot of me started giggling and laughing. And the guy that was the perpetrator just like stiffened up and he got off the train at the next stop. And I realized that that was the only way that I could have dealt with that situation was to diffuse it by humor, you know, letting him save face so like he wouldn't retaliate by bashing in mine. And then it's this beautiful, warm evening in 2019. It's like the time of year when spring is turning towards summer, and it's the first day that you can go outside without a jacket at night. And an old friend of mine from the 90s happened to be in town, not the Wolf of Wall Street crowd, not the restaurant crowd, but an old friend of mine from the 90s from performing happened to be in town. And a bunch of us went to this bar in the East Village to, you know, to hang out and drink and reminisce and catch up and blah, blah, blah. And as we're leaving the bar, we start having the Puerto Rican goodbye in the doorway. You know what the Puerto Rican goodbye is, right? The Puerto Rican goodbye is when all the things that you could have or should have said for the 2.5 hours you've been together now need to be said for the next 20 minutes in the doorway, blocking anyone from coming out or going in. And we're just all in the doorway, hanging out and talking. And I remember my back was towards the street. And all of a sudden, I feel not one, but both of my butt cheeks just latched onto, like mauled. And like all my friends saw it and we all go like, and then, you know, the grip is released and I turn around and I see this young man who looks like any number of fine, upstanding young men who go to, I don't know, Columbia or NYU or Cooper Union or something like that. He's running up the block towards another two guys and they're laughing at me, you know? And I was just like, what? Like this hadn't happened to me for a really long time. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, I'm middle-aged now. Maybe I've just become this invisible woman and, like, guys don't look at that part of me anymore. Fine with me, right? But here it is in broad daylight, or rather twilight. And I just was, like, so furious and fed up with this. I just yelled. I'd, like, scream at the guy up the block. And I go, hey, you just grabbed a 57-year-old ass. Your mama must be real proud. And then the friends who had been laughing at me, they start laughing at him and he stops and he just like looks at his hands as if they were branded like Lady Macbeth. But then one of my friends says to me, well, Michelle, at least you still got it. And I was like, got it? Got what? And then she goes, well, Michelle, no one's ever grabbed my ass. And then a couple of months after that, I had an eye doctor appointment. I had just been diagnosed with glaucoma because middle age, but luckily it's early stage and very treatable and it's never has never gotten any worse. But this is when I first got diagnosed and I had to go in for this mega eye dilation test where they dilate your eyes like really like big and a lot and they shine all these lights in them and it hurts. And they had warned me to bring really dark sunglasses for afterwards. And of course, you know, I have tests, everything is fine, you know. And I remember my boyfriend, when I had told him that I was going for this test, he said to me, well, do you want me to come with you? You know, just in case, make sure everything's okay. And I'm just like, no, I'm going to be fine. They're going to like shine lights in my eyes. I'll be like I'm tripping again, only I won't be hallucinating. I said it'll be fine. Only it's really not fine because when I get out of the test, I realize I forgot to bring the dark, dark sunglasses. And the only ones I have like these rose-tinted lenses. And it's like noon, so it's really bright, bright, bright sun with no shadows. And my eyes are hurting. They're like, oh, like I can't open them. I'm like, oh, I can't see, I can't see, I can't see. And I'm like, okay, well, I can't go to work right now. So I call my job and I go, you know, well, the test was delayed. I'll be in an hour. I figured an hour, I'll be fine. And then I'm like, well, what am I going to do for an hour? And I'm like, oh, wait, there's a Trader Joe nearby. It's a Trader Joe a couple of blocks away. Go buy some cat food or something. Great. And as I start walking, I hear, like, again, spider sense goes off, and I hear that there's somebody behind me in lockstep, and I'm just like, fuck. fuck. And then I hear, mommy, hot mommy. Hi, mommy. Ooh, somebody's looking fine today. And I was just like, no, no, not today. No, no, not today. Damn it, damn it. And I'm just like, okay, shield goes on, right? And I'm like, just don't turn around. Don't engage. Don't say anything. Just walk, 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 walk real fast, you know, like the New Yorker that I am, and just get away from him. Just get away, get away, get away. So I'm walking, but this person is still right behind me. Mommy, mommy, turn around so I could see if your face is as nice as that ass. And I'm like, what? Am I in ninth grade again? Is this one of the guys from the stairwell? No, no, it's not possible. Not possible. So I'm like, now I'm just like all discombobulated. And I'm just like, I just got to get away from this guy. I got to. And mommy, mommy, mommy. And I'm walking, I'm walking, I'm walking. And I make the turn on 6th Avenue. And I'm walking, I'm walking. And I can still feel this dude is right behind me. And he's going, mommy, come on, turn around. Mommy, you're looking so nice. Mommy. And I run into Trader Joe. And the guy is still running in there with me. And he's like, come on, mommy, turn around. Come on. And I just grab the first thing that I can see and find, which is a big bunch of bananas. And I wheel around. And I'm just like going to turn this man's face into banana pudding. And I go, and I see it's my boyfriend. It's my boyfriend. My loving, supporting, awesome partner who figured that even though I said I didn't need him to be with me anyway, he thought that he would take the morning off work and make sure anyway. So he was across the street at the Michaels shopping because he makes animated films and he's crafting. He's always making some kind of film set. So he just made sure that he was outside of the building where the eye doctor was at 12 o'clock where I would be leaving. So he made sure I was okay. And he thought it would just be fun to just play with me, which at any time would have been fine, but now we're in Trader Joe's and it's not fine because everybody is staring at us. So I say out loud to everyone and no one in particular, hi, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Only it's not, right? Because I kind of like squished the hell out of the bananas. I think I still owe Trader Joe $1.89. I think, shh, don't tell them, banana pudding. So I put the bananas back and then, you know, my boyfriend, he's like looking at me like so hurt and so confused. And, you know, I say, let's go outside. We need to talk. So we go outside to Trader Joe and it's like, you know, on the sidewalk with the lunchtime crowd going around. And of course, my eyes are now magically fine. I guess all that adrenaline just like cured him or something. And he goes to me, Michelle, I was only playing. And I'm like, I know you were only playing. At any other time, it would have been fine. I would have turned around and would have made a joke out of it. We could have done like this whole role play thing and I could have let him grab my ass and whatever. Cause you know, we're together, right? But no, not this day. I was like feeling vulnerable and distracted and thinking that the guy from ninth grade had come back to me or something. And I was like, you can't do that. And I go on and I explain to him more that every day since the age of 15, I have had to put on an invisible shield around me because I never know. I never know when I leave my house, is it going to be this staircase, this street, this subway car, this doorway, this wherever, that I'm going to lose a little piece of myself? And then I say to him, you have a daughter. She's going to be 30. You think this never happened to her? You think she doesn't have her own shield too? And he got it. He got it. My God, he got it. I could tell. I could tell that he got it, you know? And if a late 50s, Queens born and bred, French white guy, rock and roll, old school East Village dude can get it, why can't everyone, you know? So everything's fine. He walks me to the subway. I'm going to go back to work. He's going to go back to work. And I'm about to go down the stairs. I stick my colito out a little playfully and I say, you want to grab for the road, papi? And he goes, are you sure? And I'm like, well, yeah, it's okay. It's consent. It's all it is. It's all about consent, isn't it? It's context and it's consent. So yeah, I do have an ass. I've been told it's a pretty nice one. Hey, it's functional. It keeps me standing upright and dancing. Makes some of my clothes look nice. But you know what? When all is said and done, that colito is mine. You hear me? Mine.